Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Good evening, and tonight is 6 p.m. on Sunday, so you've got the Sunday show on here, Be Monsters Radio. And tonight we're awfully glad to have our good friend and ever constant, always thought of co-host, Jack Jodell, back with us this evening, along with author and historian and co-host, Ronald Feynman, down in Boca Raton. Jack is up in Minneapolis, and I am in Port St. Lucie yet again. And welcome to Sunday evening. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here.
Welcome
Thank
back.
You, Gwen.
Welcome back. It's great news to have you back.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. I really appreciate it. It's good to be back. Listeners probably aren't aware, but I had a mild stroke at the end of last June, June 28th. So I had been using a wheeled walker at home, and I was having a real hard time controlling it. And I was just shaking like a crazy guy. And, just was having trouble getting around, and so I knew something was up, and so I thought I'd better get hospitalized. So I'm glad I did, because they determined that I had a mild stroke. I've had three strokes now. I've been a diabetic type 1 since 1957, when I was three years old.
And
I've gone through a lot of changes. I'm legally blind. My right eye is like trying to see out of your elbow. It won't happen. And my left eye is compromised, but I can still see a little bit, like TV and stuff like that, and computers and all that sort of thing. But at any rate, so I had this stroke, and thankfully it wasn't bad. It didn't cost me my ability to speak, and it affected they've always affected one side of my body. My weakest side anyway. It's been on the left side, and it's grown progressively weaker. Each stroke has made it grow progressively weaker and less coordinated. So at any rate, it could have been a hell of a lot worse, but I'm glad it wasn't, you know. So at any rate, since that time, I've been stuck into one nursing home after another, and that's what I want to expose today. I want to try and urge people to never, ever, ever consider going to a nursing home if they can all avoid it. Because unless you're comatose or something, you know, they're just not very good places. You know, I've run the gamut of them. I've stayed at four different ones, and all of them have had drawbacks. And I've gotten to know quite a few here in the Minnesota area, in Minneapolis area. And so I wanted to talk on my experiences in each of them. So if you guys have any questions or anything, please go at it and let me know what you want to know. Okay, I'm ready to start anytime. You guys, what's up, Gwen?
How long do you usually stay at a facility? Is there a time range that they keep you to?
Well, that's a good question. I'm trying to get out of the one I'm in right now. I've been trying for about a month and a half, but at any rate, bed availability is a big problem, especially this COVID stuff. God almighty, I'm so glad we're just about at the end of that terrible virus thing, you know. So many nursing homes are not admitting anybody till they get the go-ahead, completely the go-ahead from the CDC or whatever, you know. And so they're so horrified of anybody coming there being a carrier or any of that kind of stuff. Now, I've had both my shots. I had no problem at all with either of them, although on the second one, I had the Moderna vaccine. And the second one left my right arm a little tiny bit sore for about a day and a half, but no big deal. No big
deal.
That's
what I had also when I took Moderna, the second one, yes. Yeah.
I went with Pfizer. Hello?
What was that?
Yeah, you had Pfizer, Gwen?
Yes, I had Pfizer.
Did you have a reaction to the second shot?
Well, the second shot sort of bunched up a bit in my arm and made it hurt a bit. But after I rubbed it for a day or two, it dissipated. The night that I got the shot, I had some hot flashes, but I'm a woman. And that could be anything. It could be very hormonal and nothing to do with the shot. So
yes.
Oh. Well, thank God for that, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, with these nursing homes, I assume you are on Medicare?
Yes.
You had not been 65 yet, what would have been the case with the nursing homes with Medicare?
What did you say, 65? What are you talking about?
I'm 65? Saying that 65, you're on Medicare, but and you are past 65 now. But if you were not, how would that have changed the nursing home situation?
Well, it depends, I think, upon the state and the programs they have in effect. Now, I'm covered by, first of all, my first objection to nursing homes is that they are not cash friendly. They eat up all your life savings. I was left with nothing. I mean, here's the thing. Minnesota allows, when you get on Minnesota Care, they call it, it's actually administered by Medica. But I'm not calling bad news on any companies or anything, but it's just what they have. And you're allowed $3,000 cash or any other kind of personal wealth. And that's it. You know, anything beyond that, you got to liquidate. Now, I had saved up a lot more than that, hoping to save it for a rainy day. Guess what? It started pouring immediately.
I want to intervene here. If you have a supplement with Medicare, doesn't that cover it?
I don't know all the ins and outs of Medicare.
I have a supplement. I have Medicare and I have Gerber supplement, which supposedly takes care of everything else. Do you have a supplement or have you had a supplement with Medicare or you did not?
You know, Ron, I really disagree with the insurance industry. I just don't like them. I think they're profit gougers. And so I just didn't have any insurance. I just had Medicare. That was it.
I see.
And
God. I think if you had a supplement, it would have been better looking back on it, of course. But
yeah, but you know something? I'd have a continual payment every damn month or quarterly or whatever. And you know what? You know, I've never been a really moneyed individual, so I just wanted to avoid all that shit. And so I think for my purposes, I think I made the right decision. So at any rate, so what I did was I was at a very good hospital here in the Twin Cities area. It's called Methodist Hospital. Very good, and they pay particular attention to strokes. And so I had a CAT scan done there. And they put me in this thing called it puts you upside down, and then they can scan your head and do all this other stuff. And they determined from that I did have some source of new bleeding on my brain right next to the last one I had. I've had three strokes. Each one of them has affected my left side. But, you know, it's not painful, and I haven't suffered any pain. Thank God for that. And I'm not lying writhing on a gurney somewhere, writhing in pain from cancer or some, you know, there's a lot worse things than strokes. They're bad enough by their own self, but there's a lot of things worse than strokes, you know. Way worse. And at least I can speak and think, and you know, it just affected my mobility on one side of my body. And I'm sitting in a wheelchair right now, and I don't like wheelchairs at all. I'd vastly prefer to get in a wheeled walker. But at any rate, so long story short, I first went to a place, and I'll gladly name their names. Let them sue me. I don't give a shit. They've taken all my money anyway, so they can't give me any heat on that. The first place was administered. It was a Jewish home. It was called Shalom Homes. Now, Shalom is the word for welcome. And
yes,
so
is.
It was, what's that?
Yes,
it is.
And
not
so
much of a welcome, though.
You know, I'm not a racist, and I'm not an ethnocentric guy. You know, I couldn't care whether it was Iranian or or Norwegian, or what aspect it would, you know, Jewish, I don't care. It wasn't a Catholic one. I've been Catholic my whole life, but I don't care. You know, I'm not that ethnocentric. And so I was just glad to get into a place. Actually, what they did first is they determined which place would accept Medicare for payment. So that was the big determination. I couldn't just buy a place and live in relative luxury at any place I wanted. You know, I was strapped to what I could afford, which was the ones that were accepted Medicare. So at any rate, the first place I went to was Shalom Homes, and I wouldn't recommend that place to anybody. One of the things was, I don't know what happened to me, but it was not serious, but I ate something that disagreed with me, and I had the worst runs. Oh my God, it was just terrible. And it lasted a day and a half. And I went in my bed, and I had to lay in my own, you know, shit for 25 minutes before an attendant came and got me out of my soiled clothes. And, you know, I'll always hate that place just for that, you know. And, you know, these places are always shorthanded. They're over short of staff, and it would have been different last year. And, yeah, there's always been some excuse they raise. But so I got out of that place as the quickest I could. But the good thing I saw at that place, every single day that you had a white chalkboard on the side wall, and every single day they plan your schedule for you. And they let you know if the day was a shower day and how long they gave you for it and when breakfast was, when dinner was, and you know what, and when exercise was. And so I knew my routine, and it didn't vary more than 10 or 15 minutes at the most. So it was extremely beautiful time from a time standpoint. But at any rate, I wanted to get out of there. I thought I'd rather go anywhere than that place. So at any rate, I stayed there, I think it was about 2 weeks or 3 weeks maybe. And then I had that incident, and I thought, I got to get the hell out of here. So I put every place has a social worker, and they are wonderful. They are absolutely the best. And so I put my social worker on it to try and find me a place that fit my qualifications and that would accept me, that would have an open bed. And so the next place I went to was a place that I was delighted to find out that it was a place of my father had actually stayed at the last year and a half of his life. He actually died there, he was transferred to the hospital, and then he died the next day. But he developed, he was there, he didn't like, nobody likes, it's like kind of like being a POW. You don't have any say over stuff. You kind of lose your right to do stuff, and I suppose you could legally challenge them on stuff, but I don't know. You know, it's just I haven't explored that possibility. But at any rate, it was called Prospect Place. It was a place on in the inner city in Minneapolis, not in the inner city, but on the fringes of the inner city in Minneapolis, and it was a safe environment, and it was well staffed. And my dad didn't like the lack of freedom and stuff, and. But, you know, he was 95 when he died. He was 93.
Wow. Boy, that's 90, wonderful.
93 and a half when he developed a balance issue. And so he kept falling over. And so he was living with me. And so I thought, you know, Dad, you can't keep doing this. You're going to kill yourself. You're going to injure yourself. You can't just keep falling over and not being able to get up. And all that sort of thing. And you know, it's just a bad thing. So I went around to different, I called different places and to find one that would have a bed for him. And so then we put him into, not Shalom Homes, Prospect Place. And it was a good home for him. And he lived there for about the last year and a half of his life, except for 2 days, which at the very end, he developed a type of thing where he couldn't swallow. Everything he tried to swallow went into his windpipe and down in his lungs. So, you know, he's choking on his own food, and it was a terrible way to go. But at any rate, they couldn't do anything for him either. They rescue him all the time, and I guess some people develop the inability to swallow. It's a muscular thing in your neck. And he had lived well over 90 years, so, you know, you never like to see somebody die, but especially somebody you've grown up with. But at any rate, so we determined the best thing would be for him to go into a hospital. And I went in there and saw him one time with my cousin, and I'm grateful he couldn't talk then. He was sitting there, he laying there in his bed, and he'd try to talk, but he'd raise his head a little bit. And he saw me, and he recognized me. This was the day before he died. And then he recognized me, but he couldn't quite say any words. But so I just said, "Hey, Dad, thank you so much for all you've done for me, and I really appreciate it, and God bless you," you know. And so at any rate, so then he passed the next day, and it was a blessing in disguise. He didn't suffer a long time, and he was pretty active for most of those 95 years, you know. So
yeah,
at any rate,
great life to live to 95. Wow.
Yeah, and he didn't have serious health issues, although he did develop sarcoma in his right eye, and it had to be amputated. So about the last 20 years of his life, he just saw out of his left eye, and the other one was a glass eye that they had fitted for him and stuff. And he could drive. He did everything. He had good peripheral vision and stuff, so he was okay, you know. So at any rate, we're sorry to see him go, and that's the way it goes. But, you know, death is part of life, unfortunately.
Yes.
But it'll hit us every one of us. We can't escape
that's
it.
That's true.
So at any rate, then I went to, Prospect Place. Then I went to, what was the next place? Oh, the next place was called Presbyterian Homes. That was in Bloomington. So I wanted to get out of the one that my dad was in, because I thought, well, I can do better. You know, first of all, you know, I'm not a racist guy. I'm completely open-minded when it comes to race and ethnicity and all that stuff. And so, but they started hiring a lot of immigrants at Prospect Place, and you know, I think they were run for profit, and I'm sure they profited off the cheap labor they got. But I thought, you know, there's got to be a better place than this. That I just saw one of the bad signs of the place, and then I thought, well, I don't like the way they're handling their labor and stuff, and so they're trying to do the cheap way out. So I thought, well, I'm going to go to Presbyterian Homes. It was a highly rated one. It was in nearby Bloomington, Minnesota, suburban Bloomington, former home of the Vikings and the Twins and all that stuff. And so at any rate, I went in there, and it was a nice place. It was really, really nice. I shared rooms with a Vietnamese fellow, poor guy. Since 1972, he had tried to live on his own in the country here. He was an immigrant, but he didn't learn much English. I could only understand about one out of every five words, but then something would click in, and so, you know, it was a challenge, and he was a good-hearted man, and he was so delighted. He was injured in the Vietnam War. I don't know if he was in their infantry or whatever, but his arm was like, his right arm was like two metal
oh my God,
things, you know. And then what he did, they finally, the technology came around to where they could finally roll his skin back up and attach it on one end. And his arm was kind of useless afterward, but at least it wasn't a metal. He didn't look like metalloid or something, you know. So he and he was so delighted when his
how old was he?
He was, I would guess he was probably about maybe I'd say late 50s or very early 60s.
And he had been there a long time, I gather. He was disabled, huh?
Well, he was disabled. He was in the country since 1975, and I don't know. He lived out in California for a little while, and then he came to Minnesota. I don't know why it was that he came to Minnesota. I never did ascertain that. But he was so delighted. He was allowed visitors. COVID was just starting to come into prominence here, but they still allowed visitors. And his wife visited him and his daughter, and he used to talk on his phone, I couldn't understand a damn word, but I don't know if you've ever listened to Vietnamese language. It's a lot different than ours, and it has different roots and all that stuff.
Of course, so he'd talk, Asian language, Oriental language, yep.
Yeah, exactly. So he'd talk courtesy his computer, he would talk to them on the phone, and I'd hear it in the background, but, it didn't bother me. I was glad he could communicate like that. And so eventually he got the go-ahead to go over to a hospital and have his arms done really cosmetically much better. So
after all those years of having to live with it the way it was.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah. So
why did it take so many years?
Well, I don't understand that.
I'm just asking.
I couldn't understand him. I could only understand about every fifth word out of his mouth, But at any rate, he was a nice guy. I remember his name now. It was Sue Nguyen, N-G-U-Y-E-N. Sue Nguyen.
Yeah, the Nguyen is a famous Vietnamese name, like the Nguyen Van Thu, the Nguyen Cao Ky, the leaders of South Vietnam, N-G-U-Y-E-N,
right.
Yeah.
Right,
back
exactly.
50 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was called Sue. It was his first name was Sue Nguyen, not S-U-E like Susan, but Sue, S-O-O.
E-U-X, right?
Hey, what's that?
S-I-E-U-X probably was spelled, huh? His first name.
S-Y-E-U-X?
S-I-E-U-X, wouldn't it be? Or something like that, yeah.
It was S-O-O.
S-O-O. Oh, is that simple?
Yeah, that easy, yeah. So,
I was being
too
intellectual, thinking it was more complicated.
After he got that operation, they released him, and he was able to go home and his daughter, and he was so happy. Oh, my God.
That's great.
I got him a little going away present. He liked McDonald's, So I gave him a Big Mac send off. So I said, I want to treat you to McDonald's. You like McDonald's? Yeah, I like McDonald's.
That he understood. Yeah.
So he scarfed that down without a moment's notice. So I treated him that the night before he was leaving. And so then they picked him up the next day, and that's the last I ever saw of him. So at any rate, he had a happy ending on his deal. And Presbyterian Homes was a very nice place. It was ideal. Now, what they determined for me is that I need – somebody determined this. I'd like to know who these they guys are because I disagree with them. They determined that I need 24-hour care. I don't think so. So they determined I need 24-hour care. They didn't have any 24-hour care beds available at Presbyterian Homes last year. So what they did is they shipped me over to this home, which I've been at ever since. And I just don't like it one way or the other. But I just, you're not mistreated here, but, they cut my therapy. They said, you've reached a plateau. Well, you know what? Yeah, I'm not walking around and doing handstands and shit like that. But, every time I had reps to do, if I had to do 10 reps, I'd always do 12 or 13 or maybe 14. And if I had to do 15 reps, I'd always do 20. I always wanted to do more than what was required, not to impress them, but just to make sure that I'd be getting the most out of their therapy sessions. Well, they determined, you reached a plateau. Well, I disagree with them very much. And so that's where I'm at right now. For a time, I had an interview with a nurse practitioner, and I was very earnest with her, and I just laid it down. I've got to have more therapy. I'm not going to get any better. I'm not going to get out of here. I'm not going to go anywhere, but I'm not going to get any better. And my determination is to get better, even 1%, you know. And
that's so the right attitude. I agree with you.
It is.
You know? And so they determined that I've had all the therapy I can do. And then they did that again. They renewed it on her advice. They renewed it for about 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, well, you reached a plateau and we're going to end your therapy. If you want to pay for therapy, you can do it, but it's frightfully expensive. Well, you know, I can't pay it. You know, what do I have to, I don't have $1 billion like Trump supposedly does. You know, so I don't, that's out for
he
me.
He doesn't, he's going bankrupt.
Yeah, well, yeah, and, you know, you can't bankrupt yourself if you have nothing left anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just terrible. So at any rate, what I have had to do is I've had to liquidate all of my savings over the years, all the years I worked.
Horrible.
And oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jack.
It's just, you know what? It's the most god-awful thing in the place of, in the face of the earth. And that's why I say, you guys, you think nursing homes, oh, they care for you. No, they call it a care center. I tell you, it's not a care center. It's an uncare or a discare or a non-care center. That's not a good euphemism. So it's what it does is it takes all your money, you know.
Yeah,
and
may
so
I ask
right
you-
now, yeah, go ahead.
May I ask you something? I'm just curious. If you had no assets, no savings, how would things have been different? Would they have still had you there, or they would have thrown you out, or
well,
what?
Then I'd be covered, well, just like I am now, because I have no assets left. I'd be covered now by Minnesota Care. Now, that's the state of Minnesota administers that. But here's the thing with that. I've been on disability because of legal blindness since 1998. And I used to make it, you know, it was like having a part-time job, you know, in terms of income. I wasn't getting wealthy on it by any stretch. And all these people that say, oh, you got to get these assholes off of welfare, and they're soaking the system. And no, they're not. They weren't making me a small millionaire. No, not even close. So it was a modest income at best. And so my house was paid off, no big deal. And I haven't driven for years, so I didn't have gas expense. And once in a while, I'd hop a bus and you know, go do something, you know. So at any rate, what they did is they allow you. Oh, they take out your disability check, and that pays for your room and board. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I like to have a pizza every once in a while.
Of course.
I like to begin my day with a V8. I've done it for 20 years. And mm-hmm. So, you know, those items don't grow on trees, you know. They don't just materialize because I wave my wand finger and want them to be on my plate. So at any rate, Minnesota Care, after they pay the room and board here and all that crazy shit they pay. All my medical expenses are covered, which is fine, which is good. And after that, I am allowed $105 per month for personal expenses. Out
wow.
of that, I got to buy shoes if I need them. I got to buy other things that if I need them. You know, it's just, It's a horrible, horrible ripoff. And, you know, I'm grateful that they pay these nursing homes. I don't know what, for this place costs $1,398 and some cents per month.
Oh, wow.
Every month. That's why, maybe it's worth it, maybe it's not, I don't know. But, like, I can't get it. Shit. If I allowed myself to get all kinds of stuff, you know, I exhaust my funds. So it's just, And I'm so glad that Biden came out with that $1,400 and Trump that Trump's $600 didn't last very long, but that Biden's lasted a lot longer. And I tucked away a little tiny bit. They have a trust fund that you set up here. And so I put like $200 or $300 into that. And I've been slowly grabbing a little tiny bit at a time and getting some cash on hand. So, but at any rate, it's a horrible way to live. It could be a lot worse, but it's not recommended for anybody. These places are not a bargain, not one bit a bargain.
May I ask you something, Jack? Where, before you had the strokes, did you live?
I lived in the first suburb south of Minneapolis in my own home. And my parents had died. My youngest brother had died, too. And so I was living with my other brother, who was just a year and a half younger than I was. He's still there. And so I was paying all the property taxes. I was doing all that stuff. But finally, at $105 a month, shit, I'd have to save up for 2 years to pay the property tax. And I didn't live in a ritzy home at all. I lived in a added-on bungalow, I was
your brother lives in this
variety.
House.
What's that?
Your brother lives in the house still.
He does, yeah. So I
and
told
it's a
him
paid-off
other...
house as far as the mortgage?
Yes, exactly. Thank God for that.
He's paying the property taxes, I guess, then.
He is now. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
okay, so in other words, what I'm saying is that the health care is not forcing you to sell the house.
No, right, exactly. So that's a good
thing. If you ever get out of the nursing home, you could go back to that house with your brother, correct?
Well, they say here's those they guys again, they say that will never happen. And I've got to be relegated to nursing homes the rest of my life. They say I need 24-hour treatment and 24-hour care. And you know what? I disagree. But who am I? Who am I to argue with they? They are way powerful than I am.
Okay, but they cannot take your brothers and your house away no matter what. Is that correct?
No, they can't. That's thing about Minnesota.
Yeah, her condo, and they liquidated it, and I think she had paid it off. So, I mean, at least, the house is free from them touching it. That's one thing.
They can't take cars. I don't have a car. I haven't had a car for years.
They had
they
a car, they couldn't
cars.
Take it. Interesting. I didn't, I'm trying to know about this because I'm older than you. That's why I'm really trying to understand all this.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Jack?
So they can't take cars. They can't take homes away. They can't take things like that. They can take bank accounts, which they've done.
They can take bank accounts.
They can. C-A-N. They can. And they
without
have.
Your approval?
No. But I mean, the alternative is you declare bankruptcy and. I've never declared bankruptcy my entire life, and I wasn't going to start doing it now.
No, but I think if you could have saved your savings, it would have been worth it. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
it's not the end of the world. Even Trump has had 6 bankruptcies, remember.
oh, I know, yeah. Yeah, but you know what, though? I don't – that's not my style. I do not want to – I don't want to leave other people hanging just so I can escape stuff, That's not the way
Jack.
I am.
I get you, Jack. I'm right there
and
with
I understand,
you.
People usually don't do it. Some people don't do it as flippantly as Trump has done it. But
businesses do it all the time.
Yeah,
so
it's a mode of operation for him.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, but even beyond that, I know somebody who has had 5 bankruptcies in different businesses, and he's not rich like that. But he doesn't even feel anything bad about it. That's normal to be able to go bankrupt. And, of course, that's the way a lot of people in businesses feel, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, I disagree with that philosophy.
Wrong.
They're just thinking what's best for them.
I'm not saying it's right, but that's the society. Most people say whatever benefits me is all that matters. That is not the way to look at life, but that's the way a lot of people do. That's what I'm saying.
You got it. That's exactly right, and I understand that, yeah. So at any rate, I'm left with little or no option here. So it could be a lot worse. I could be laying on a gurney and writhing in pain from cancer, and I'm not, thank God for that. But it's no way to live, man. This is no way to live. And they came by and they oh, we're gonna put you on antidepressants. I said, I don't need to go on antidepressants. You don't have to turn me into a zombie, for Christ's sake. So I rejected it. So I get my meds. I get all my stuff every day that I need. And I get a bed to sleep in, and it's warm, and everything's okay. But I just have so little freedom of monetary freedom.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. So
is the food
that's
decent?
Why I say, you guys. What?
Is the food decent at these different locations?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Oh, God.
This place, I had some pot roast this afternoon. You know, pot roast is nice, but it's got full of gristle. And, you know, this was the same old shit. And, you know, it's hit or miss, you know.
Yeah, I love your blood. I love your blood language.
Well, I've got to be honest.
It really
honest,
entertains,
you know?
Though, the way you say it.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
What the hell can you do?
Yes.
Well, you can bring it to people's attention, just as you're doing here, Jack. And you can reach out, too, you know.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, as a matter of fact, I've had my issues with this place, them cutting me off of therapy. And, you know, here's the maddening thing about therapy. I got to change this thing to my left arm just a second.
Sure.
I've been holding that in my right arm the whole time, and it's getting tired. At any rate, the therapy I had, I didn't like the nature of it. It wasn't doing me enough good. For example, they refused to let me go up and down any stairs whatsoever. And I think that, and I wanted to get on an exercise bike, and they refused me that too. So you know what? How am I ever going to, all I'm going to do is sit and languish in a damn wheelchair. And how am I ever going to get out of this damn wheelchair unless I can to go on an exercise bike and maintain my leg strength, you know? It's just maddening. And how they determine I plateaued, yeah, I'm sorry. It's hard to improve when they won't let you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of productive the way they're reacting.
Yeah, I'm so fed up with them. That's another reason I want to go to another place, because if I get in there, I will have therapy. You know, it's just weird how these things work. It's just weird.
Yeah, it is. Well, tell me, Jack, do you have plenty to read and entertainment? And is your computer with you?
Well, my computer's here, and I got my big screen TV right in front of me. It's silenced right now.
I would think.
You know. And I like, you know, I haven't done my blog for quite a while, but I'm going to start it up again. But, you know, being in a damn wheelchair, I'm so hobbled in a wheelchair. I'm not a wheelchair kind of guy. I have no strength in my left hand. And so when I try to do the wheels, my right takes over and I go around in circles. It's just terrible. So I've got to be wheeled over to my damn computer. It's off to the right. I got my bed on my right hand side. It's a very small room, by the way, and that's fine. I don't need royal treatment or big, you know, grandiose stuff. But it's my bed's on. It's a single bed, and it's okay. It's not the most comfortable bed I've ever had, or it's the worst bed. But and then I've got my TV right in front of me. My TV's a 40-inch diagonal, and it's a high D, so it's good. And my computer's a big Apple. It's a desktop, and I've got my keyboard over it, and then over by it, and then that's about a 21-inch, I guess. So I got the maximum height at the time, and I like it. It's easy for me to see it. And I've got a magnifying glass over there and stuff too, if I need it to read really fine print, but. You know, when you lose your freedom, whether it's mechanical freedom or economic freedom, any loss of freedom is absolutely ghastly, and it's no way to be, man. No way to live. And I just keep saying to everybody, If you can at all avoid it, do not ever, ever go to a nursing home unless you're comatose. That's my advice.
And you wouldn't know. That's the one thing. You wouldn't be aware you're going there. It's just, it's horrible. I feel so bad that you're not having a better situation.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could be a hell of a lot worse. This is a nonprofit nursing home. That's what they say, and I know damn well they're making profit with the ghastly sums that they're fleecing me out of every month. So, you know, and, you know, it's not luxurious by any stretch of the imagination. It's doable, you know.
But this is Minnesota. What would this be like if it's Mississippi or Alabama or Kentucky? I could just imagine, you know.
Well, I'm sure they don't have the budgets down there, or they wouldn't have the budget to spend on their people to enable them to even have $105 left over at the end of the month. They'd probably take the whole damn allotment, you know. So I can only assume, but, you know, I've never been in a nursing home down there, but I know they're relatively poorer in essence than the state of Minnesota is, but not that I'm a bigoted northerner or anything like that, because I'm just talking realistic. I'm just talking realistically, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you now, Wayne Johnson is talking to me on Messenger, and he sends his best wishes to you.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless you, Wayne. Wayne, I miss you, buddy. I really do, and I'm trying to do this as often as I can, we'll see how it goes, though. You know, it's just it's one week at a time kind of thing, and I'm trying to get moved somewhere, and I have to use my social worker. She's a wonderful young lady. She's 21 years old, and she's savvy. She's very smart, and her name's Hannah, and she has jet black hair. She's a real cute little thing, and she's going to bat for me and filling out my applications and all that stuff. So she's a wonderful young lady, and she knows her stuff. So I got to run it through her. You know, you can't just, I want to come to your nursing home. You can't just apply like that. You got to fill out an application and have it weighed and accepted or rejected. And then
just like college.
Oh, yeah, and just like you know, and one of the complications is it's got to be one that will accept Medicare for payment, you know, Minnesota care.
Realize there were that many nursing homes that don't accept Medicare. Wow.
Well, I guess they have to, but, you know, I think they get paid a little bit less than what their asking price is. That's probably why they try to reject it, yeah, so.
We don't need national health care, according to Republicans.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's so taboo it isn't even under consideration. How can you believe this shit? My God in heaven. You know, we're the only civilized country on the face of the earth that doesn't have some kind of national health care.
And still fighting
insane.
Obamacare, you know, although they're the minority now, thank goodness, and still wanting to get rid of it and have no alternative plan.
Oh, no, they never will, because they want to profiteer off it. They want it to be keeping the wealthy, and the Republicans don't give a shit about anybody anyway, except wealthy people. Trump's already proved that. And misconduct and all the rest of those yahoos, they're nuts. And I just don't – I've never agreed with the Republican philosophy of greed, me, you know.
Yeah. And now they have wackos like Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, even worse, you know.
You know, that Marjorie Taylor Greene, she is a disgusting spectacle. She's such a puke. That's all.
I think she's mentally ill. I think it's something really wrong with her, you know.
I agree. And Matt Gaetz is a knucklehead, too. All he wants is he's a good-looking guy. I'll give him that. But I'm not into guys. But he's a good-looking guy, and I can see where he would.
Have to tell
him. He would attract certain women, you know.
He's a criminal.
He's a criminal.
You actually say he's good-looking. He might be, in a sense, good-looking, but you can see he's an evil person in his eyes, I think.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Oh, exactly. So he's hideous-looking to me. I just look at them with the same revulsion that I do Marjorie Taylor Greene.
She's
nuts.
Also,
that woman's a wacko.
Yeah, she's not particularly – I think she looks evil. There's a certain sense these people are the devil incarnate, it almost seems like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I saw a clip on I think it was CNN, but MSNBC is usually what I watch. I go back and forth. But
you and I have that disease. We prefer MSNBC.
Well, you know, she was trying to shout through a crack in the door of AOC's room one time, and she was lambasting her and cutting her down and calling her a coward. And what a spiteful thing to do! And she hadn't even been elected yet. The people in Georgia that elected her, man, they got to be whacked out.
You know, Georgia has a few people that are really crazy. This other congressman that was saying that it was just a tourist visit on January 6th, Andrew Clyde, but they have a photograph of him cowering in fear when people were coming into the House chamber, and yet he's now saying that it was just a tourist visit.
Just regular tourists. Yeah. I looked at the films. That guy's nuts. He's a liar, too. I saw him on TV, bald-faced lying. And, you know, he's as cowardly as they all come.
Georgia has some real wackos there, two or three of them. I don't understand it. But even Florida, I mean, with Matt Gaetz and there are a few others that are – I mean, I look and I say our governor is a disgrace. And now he's like
–
Trump signs a bill and he shows it, show and tell to everybody like a kindergartner would. I mean, who else does that? It's crazy.
Ron DeSantis is – yeah.
Go ahead,
He's wacko, too. He's wacko, too. You know.
Well,
he's show and tell. See my signature? Joe Biden signs. He doesn't show everybody the signature. It does no need to do that.
Yeah.
It's ego. It's pud strutting is what it is, gentlemen. It's just look how big mine is. And it's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And then you have really, really awful corruption like the Israeli Knesset and how it's handling things right now with the IDF.
Oh, 64
children. 64 children perished.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
so I just, you know the story of how Israel was created, a Jewish state. And you have empathy for it. And you understand it, and you look at the people who have thrived there, made it thrive, like Golda and a few others, and then we come to this for the last 20-something years. No,
well,
these
Netanyahu's
are old fucking
no
men who
that.
Need to be put down. These are old fucking men who need to be taken out and shot.
And you know what?
Netanyahu should be in prison. There's no question.
And you know what? They're doing exactly what the Germans did to them in World War II.
It's like Poland.
Incredible.
You know? I was shocked
to see this video of this woman journalist interviewing 10 young Israelis, and they were all saying, you know, kick all the Palestinians out or exterminate them. And I'm thinking, how can you say something like that? You know, shocked me. I couldn't believe it. Young people, not talking about the leaders now. And again, that doesn't mean all young people. But the ones they showed, I could not believe it.
Well, it's the sweetness of Hitler youth, you know. It's like, just wow. If you don't watch out, you don't watch out, you know.
I'm just finishing up. Yeah, it's so weird. It's just, you know, it defies logic. And we who are freedom-loving people, we are considerate toward other people. We are thoughtful. We care about other people. The rest of those other people, they admire authoritarians. How can you do that? God in heaven.
Jack, we provided the weaponry to them to do it. We.
And this
administration has just shoveled more over to them. This administration has just shoveled more over to it. Goddamn machines. They all need to come down and stick a woman who knows what she's doing in that house.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely.
Bernie today, did anybody see Bernie? Bernie came on and he lambasted not just Biden, but he lambasted Israel. and what they are doing, and said that,
as
you know,
they should do.
You know,
they're just taking us for suckers. We, you know, we admonish them on stuff. They blow it right off their back, and they just go on and do it the same old damn thing anyway, all the time. This has been going on for years and years and years.
Yeah.
They're taking advantage of us, and you know, it's really horrible that they need to survive, but they don't need to go to those extremes. I agree with their need to. They should be a survive as a nation, and the people should survive and not be victimized. But
hello, Jack.
It's got to come to a screeching halt.
Well, you know, the only way I think it's going to is, as we are seeing here in this country right now, we're all very divided. We have this George Floyd anniversary coming up, and I just spent a week at a wedding, and everybody got along well and did fine and had a glorious time.
Yes, it was. What wonderful photographs you put on Facebook.
It was really, truly wonderful, and it was primarily a Jewish wedding, which I haven't attended one since college, and it was charming, and I really enjoyed it, being around a couple of young people in love,
good
starting
word.
Out a new life, does
yeah.
a lot to
yeah.
heal you, and yet you walk back into the world, and you understand that the world is not good right now. And
what we
have to do is, as you have always said, you got to keep pushing forward.
Exactly.
And doing your best to make things better in whatever small way you can.
We've got to be relentless, and we've got to be ongoing and continual. It's in our blood, and we are determined to do this the right way, and at as little cost emotionally, physically, financially as possible. And it's an undertaking, man. We've undertaken it, and we are not going to surrender to this greedy me first stuff. You know, it's enough of that. That's harmful.
Yeah, but it's going on, and it's going to come to its apex somehow. We thought it might politically, but the same crap is going on. It's a joke. It's a joke to watch. Ron, don't you think it's quite a joke to watch Congress anymore or the Senate? I mean, nothing is
House and Senate.
Done.
Yeah, the whole thing is, one thing I will do is give praise to the 35 House members who are Republicans out of about 200.
Yeah.
Not many, but 35 to 10 who voted to convict Trump and 25 others to say there should be this January 6th commission. But now at the moment, it looks like maybe not one Republican senator, and we need 10, and it might go along. And I'm thinking Mitt Romney, after what he's done, wouldn't, or Ben Sass, or Susan Collins, or Lisa Murkowski, and hopefully bring on a few others. I can't believe that's going to happen.
Why the hell do they stand like that in opposition to good things? It just blows you away.
It's
just beyond belief. But the one thing is, the House will hold hearings anyway, even without Republican support. They'll still do an investigation. It just wouldn't be a bipartisan commission. So believe me, Nancy Pelosi, she's not perfect, but she's going to have an investigation. It will be done, but it would be better to have a bipartisan commission. But I'm waiting to see some of these Republican senators who voted to convict him and all that, and maybe a few others. There are some that are not as evil as others, as comparative, that I still hope that they will be 10, but it doesn't look like it, and I can't understand why.
Yeah, it blows me away too. It's the great unsolved mystery of our time, and it's a bad note to end on, but I guess I gotta get off here pretty soon.
Thank you so much for having told us so much about your experience. You've educated the audience that's listening, and we both appreciate it.
And thank you, Ron, for listening, and Gwen, for you for having this episode. I appreciate it, and God bless you both.
I hope you're going to come back and be with us when you can.
Yes,
we want you. Not just a drive-by fruity here. We don't do drive-by fruities here.
Yeah. Well, that I appreciate. And I will definitely do it. I can't guarantee to doing it every week, but I'm going to try and do it as much as I can.
Whenever you're available.
Okay, Angel. Well, thank you, and say hi to Wayne for me, and let him know I miss him.
Send him Facebook
Ron,
below and wishes you the best, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, my friend. God bless you both. And you guys take care, and I'll be on in a week or two at the most. We'll see you later. Take care.
Okay,
guys.
Thank you so much.
And
good
thank
night,
you,
Kathy.
Guys, very much. Yep, good night. Have a good night, and keep pushing forward.
There you go.
Yep.
Thank you,
okay.
Jackie.
Thank you.
Wow. I'm glad that Jack was on and he gave us real information there. It was very enlightening, Gwen, you know?
Yeah, he's going through the what everybody's afraid of, and he's standing up to it, and he got in touch, and he asked if he could have this time to dominate the show and tell about his experience. So it might make a difference to people who have different choices to make.
Yes. And you know what else it does? It makes one feel that even though we have things to complain about, every one of us in our lives, we shouldn't be complaining maybe as much as we are when you see that people don't have it as good as we have it, you know?
It's true. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
I know that Jack took him a while to make the choice to come on and speak about his experience, but he's a brave fellow. He always has been, and he's always stood up for what he has thought was right. And
yes.
you got to adore him for it. You really do.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, your wedding there was fantastic, I gathered, huh?
It was. My sister and I grew up in Boca, between Boca and Lighthouse Point, so it was like going home in a way, and that was her son who got married, and Gabrielle is just a wonderful, wonderful, lovely young woman.
Yes,
and
I said it was a Jewish wedding. Is she Jewish?
Yes, she is. She's German Jewish.
Oh, I didn't realize. Because I heard you say that. I said, really? Oh, I didn't realize. So she's Jewish. Oh, okay. That's very nice.
Her mother was there. Her mother is a Berliner. And I enjoyed her a great deal. She was very animated and charming. And,
oh, that's great.
We had a really wonderful time. And I thought I was going to be sort of lonesome, like a third wheel, but I wasn't. I had a very wonderful time. One of Debbie's old friends was with us. And my sister looked absolutely glowing. Boy, I'll tell you. She'd done the
best. That's great.
Job.
I'm so glad all of you had a good time, yeah. And the pictures are great. Yeah.
We really, really celebrated something. And it makes you stop and think that it's the moments. No matter, you can't project what tomorrow's going to be. You have to live today.
You have to enjoy today. Right.
Yeah.
You
have to. You really have to. In this past year of COVID and everything, I think a lot of us have been projecting.
Yes.
And one thing we can learn from it is that just enjoy and hold precious the moments. And we're at the end of the hour.
Yes, it's just about the end of the hour, but another minute and a half, yeah.
Well,
but I'm glad that Jack came on. He made the show really significant.
He did. He did, very much so. God bless you, Jackie Jodell. I'm sure we'll have him on again. He's getting,
I hope so.
He's getting functionally pissed off, which always gets Jack on the air. So that's a good thing. And it shows spunk, you know, it shows. Okay.
I like his colorful language.
Yeah, you get to a point where it's like, that's it. All she wrote. Ron, let me remind folks that the show is produced by daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. You can go over there and find the expressions. The spiritual expressions of our ancestors in aromacology and flower essence, vibrational applications, and we are done for the night.
Ron, yeah, thank you so much again for being on the show and for inviting me to be part of.
Ronald Feynman, thank you very much. Historian and author. Thank you for being with us. We will be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. Good night.
Good night.